Okay, right, I've put these down here. So yeah, my name's Nicola, along with David. We have a privilege of leading the church. I'm not sure, if you don't know us, hello. And it's great to be with you this morning. As David said, I'm kind of picking up what might sound a bit of a strange theme, mining for gold. You know, the 10 biggest gold mines on the planet are in South Africa, it's the biggest one, Indonesia, Russia, Papua New Guinea, Chile, the USA, and Western Australia. And today, I'm not actually going to be talking about gold. I'm going to be talking about something even more precious. I want you to have a look at these photos. These photos are just beautiful. They're glimpses of the beauty of creation. Just a peek at the work of God's hands. We see God's design, we see his fingerprints, we see evidence of the King at work in these snapshots, in these photographs. I wonder if how many of you noticed beauty around you, particularly this last year, as we've kind of been locked down and stuff. You maybe have noticed some beauty, something of creation around you, more this year than maybe you have before. You've kind of stopped and noticed God's fingerprints in creation, his design, his reassuring presence in the seasons. I was reading this morning, one of my kind of daily devotionals, and it just pointed to Romans 1, and it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Like, creation has got these fingerprints of God, evidence of him at work. So many people have been talking about it. It's been like, I don't know if you've seen sometimes on the news, particularly this last year, they've talked about the power of the natural world for kind of mental health and all that kind of thing. And it's like this gem has been discovered in plain sight that has always been there. To start this morning, I want to tell you a short story from this book. This book is called Mining for Gold, and it's by a guy called Tom Camacho, who is a fantastic author and a pastor and a coach who I absolutely adore, and he's been really influential in my life. I'm just going to read you a little bit. This is like, you know, at the end of school where you get to sit back and the teacher reads you a story at the end of the day. So relax, and here's a story. It's entitled Seeing What You Have. In 1799, 12-year-old Conrad Reed was walking through Little Meadow Creek on his family farm in Cabarrus County, North Carolina. Wading through the shallow water with some friends, he was shooting fish with his bow and arrow. In the morning sunlight, Conrad saw a bright substance flashing in the waters below him and stopped to investigate. Reaching down, he picked up a dense 17-pound shiny yellow rock that he thought was pretty neat. Tom's in America. Excited about his discovery, Conrad went home to tell his father, John Reed. John was a former soldier who had settled in North Carolina after serving in the military. He bought land and dedicated himself to the disciplined life of farming. John was a practical, no-nonsense kind of guy. "Daddy, look what I found," Conrad said to his father. "Isn't it pretty? Isn't it a pretty yellow rock?" "That's a nice rock," John said, largely disinterested in his son's discovery. "What should I do with it?" the boy asked. "Well, it's hot in here, son," John said. "Put it there on the porch to hold the door open so we can get some breeze up here in the house." "Okay, Dad," Conrad said, and obeyed his father's request. That 17-pound shiny yellow rock remained a doorstop at the Reed home for nearly 3 years. One day in 1802, John got thinking about that rock. He decided to take it to Charlotte to find out what it was. John showed it to a local jeweler who immediately identified it as a chunk of solid gold. Can you imagine? The jeweler didn't tell John the truth. Boo. Wryly, he asked John to name his price for the stone. John said, $3.50 is fair, and they agreed to the sale. John was pleased to get that amount for a rock. The sum of $3.50 was about a week's wages. John didn't realise that the gold nugget was actually worth $3,600, a fortune at the time. In the years following that discovery, the Reed family established a gold mine on their property. Many huge gold nuggets were discovered there in the coming years. The gold mine went on to make John Reed and his family very wealthy. The lesson for us in this story of the Reed gold mines is this. We need to see the value of the things, especially the people, that are right in front of us. This week, I want to focus on two things. The first thing is, what does God say about your value? And secondly, how has God worked a precious and a unique design into each and every one of us? So what does God say about your value, and how has God worked a precious and unique design into each of us? And what do those two things mean for the church and for the world? So let's start with what God says about us. Ephesians 2 says this, "By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do you notice that workmanship? We are God's handiwork. You are God's work. And when Paul says you are God's workmanship, don't think for a second of that DT project you maybe did in year seven at school. This is not some school project. The Greek word here that Paul uses in this sentence is poiema. And he had it in mind because this word is just full of meaning. It's a word about masterful creativity. You can tell, it's where the word, we get our English word poem from, and Paul selected it really carefully. Poets are great, but at their best, poems are from human imagining. But when God imagines, his images come into real existence. His poems are living and active and multidimensional. God's poetry is you, and it's me. We are of huge value to God. And what Paul and God, through Paul, wants you to understand is this. You are an epic, God-imagined poema of huge, huge worth. Let me go somewhere else. 2 Corinthians 4 says this. "For God said, let light shine out of darkness." Sorry, I'll start again. "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassingly great power is from God and not from us." We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassingly great power is from God and not for us. Clay jars were considered, were just containers created by potters who took the clay, moulded it, baked it until it was hard, painted it, glazed it. Is it called the pottery, Great Pottery Throwdown, the Great British Throwdown? I get hooked on that programme. Anyway, but potters make these clay jars. And in ancient times, which is what was in mind when this was written, sacred or valuable documents were stored for safekeeping in these kind of clay jars, hidden away and safe. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, just a good example of precious, precious writing contained in jars of clay. And pottery jars could be beautiful, or they could just be really functional, but one thing they had in common was that they were breakable. The contents couldn't be housed in them forever. In jars of clay, they were temporary holding places. And 2 Corinthians says, we are like jars of clay with treasure inside. And it means our physical bodies are like those jars, as Scripture talks about us being formed by God, like a potter forms clay, all shapes, sizes, each one of us designed by the heavenly potter for whatever purpose he desired. Our bodies are incredible, functional, and breakable. And yet God entrusts to us treasure that will last forever. And that treasure in 2 Corinthians is defined as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. The treasure that we are privileged to hold is the knowledge of our Creator through his Son, Jesus. While we were dead and destined for destruction, God made a way for us to be made new. And this knowledge and this resulting relationship with God are the greatest treasures any earthly vessel can hold. And during worship, we're going to be taking communion and remembering that amazing, amazing fact. We are treasured by God to even hold that knowledge in our hearts, in our lives. And the glory shining from the face of Christ never fades. Moses, if you remember, kind of met with God and the glory faded. But we have this treasure in us and it never fades because Jesus is the source of light. And to see his glory is to share in God's glory for eternity. That is treasure. That knowledge, that relationship is treasure. What value we hold in us. And Paul goes on to write in 2 Corinthians 11, I became its servant by the commission God gave me to fully proclaim to you the word of God. The mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but is now revealed to his saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The treasure of this gospel is to make Christ known. What about that? I mean, that is incredible treasure that we hold in us. But there's more. There is more gold, right? The gospel isn't the only treasure. That is incredible treasure, but there is even more. There is even more that God deposits in each and every one of us because we each have a unique treasure and value in our very existence, okay? Every one of us is a unique treasure to God. Psalm 139 talks about every human being being fearfully and wonderfully made, woven together. Before you even existed, God had you in mind. God's unique creation is in us, in that poem, in that masterpiece, he's knitted you together to be you. His blend of design, everyone a treasure. And with that treasure, his longing and his purpose is to purify and refine so that the image of God in each of us is clearer, is purer. We become more like him. Just, I'm going to dip into the Old Testament for a second. Malachi 3:3 says, he, God, will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. You, whoever you are precious. God says so. You carry the hope of glory to share with the world. You are a treasure to your heavenly Father. He loves you so much that he constantly and unceasingly wants to refine the gold in you so that you're fully alive in him. A lifelong process of refining. And because he loves us, he wants to experience a life of connection and relationship with him and others. And that's a place of discipleship and transformation if we will welcome the work of God in us. I just wonder How often do we really realize the value God places on us and in us? How often do we truly know it about others? God took the gold of his pure nature and he injected it into every human being. We carry it. I carry it. You carry it. There is something of the glory of God in each and every person uniquely. And this is the gold that I really want to talk about today and next week as well. I want it to bring it to our attention because we can easily kind of forget it. That the image of God is in all people and it's everywhere. And I want to encourage us to begin to see it. Like mining, we have to look for it to find the gold. So this week I'm going to focus on the gold that God has placed uniquely in us and those around us to open our eyes to it. And then next week we're going to look about how we can draw that gold out. How practically, what does it mean to actually go mining for the gold in those around us? Gold is everywhere and it is not meant to be a doorstop ever. Ever. I wonder if you thought about the gold in you, that God-given design, that God creation, that masterpiece that you are. When did you last think about it? Someone asked me a few years ago, who are you, Nicola? It's a great question, isn't it? She said, who are you? And I could tell her all the things I did. I could tell her all the roles I had. But I found it really difficult to explain who I am. I wonder if you were asked that question today. Who are you? It pulled me up sharp because I thought I need to understand, really understand who I am in Christ. Not just that I'm his daughter. That is my identity as a chosen, loved, beloved daughter of the King. My identity, my design, his fingerprints on me are not the same as anyone else on planet Earth. I am unique. And it's for a good reason. My dad's a twin. And even, they look the same, him and his brother, but they're different people. Sarah, my 12-year-old, has twin friends, two girls who come around for dinner sometimes. I can't tell the difference. I still can't tell the difference, and she's known them for years. Sarah knows the difference, but they look like they are identical, but they are really different characters, really different. We are all unique. And he's designed me the way he wants me to be because he wants me to be that way. And when I came to Christ as a little big girl, I began to walk with him in a unique way. No one else walks with him like I do. No one else reflects the glory of God the way I do. No one else has the same talents. No one else has the same gifts. No one else has the same personality. No one else has the same passions as me. No one else has the same, bears fruit in the same way I do. That mixture of all of the different things in me make me unique. No one else is the same. And God loves who he's made. And he says that about you. You alone can express the kingdom, the glory of God in the way that only you can. And it's part of God's amazing design in the whole of creation. You are incredibly valuable and incredibly special. And together, the church family can be fully alive and healthy with each body part functioning in the way it was made to. Understanding this is really important. So this is the crux of where I really want to get to. Romans 12 says this: for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. different gifts that are given by God, empowered by one and the same Spirit. And God gives individually to us as he wills. See, your gifting isn't just for you. It's for the body. It's for your community. It's for wherever you live. It isn't just for you. But what you're given is to bless everyone in the body, in the church as well. Did you see, I don't know if you did, if you didn't, you should definitely have a look. In the Life Kids video last week, Sarah was talking about her little book, and I think it was picked up and put on Facebook kind of separately as well. Sarah's part of the of our church, and she's up at Marley Hill this morning. Hi, Sarah, if you're there. And she talked about having this little book, and she would write the names of children that came to the toddler group, Noah's Ark, up there. Or she would write the name of children as they came to the Life Kids group that she's been involved with. And she prays for them. And if you listen to the way she talked about the children, oh my goodness, it was so amazing to hear this heart of an encourager come out. It was kind of infectious. It was such a beautiful thing. Did you see Caroline teach last week? Someone who's clearly gifted as a teacher by God. She teaches. She loves to teach. There's life in it for her, and she's so good at it. I spent a day on Friday with some incredible people from this church on Friday, just serving and giving themselves and their resources. And I just saw so clearly the gift of serving, service lived out so clearly for the glory of God. If you are a follower of Jesus, you play your part in the church, grafted together as a body. It's how God chose to form a family, a community, abounding in faith and love, growing into all the fullness of Christ together. And that's a demonstration of the kingdom to a waiting and a watching world. And God, by his grace and his wisdom, has apportioned in creation part of his kingdom and his nature in you. And usually we have sort of a predominant gifting. And these gifts in Romans 12 are often called redemptive gifts or motivational gifts. They're deep and they don't change over time. It's God who made you. And these seven gifts listed in Romans 12 are aspects of God's kingdom in us. They're God's character in humanity. It's about how you're created. It doesn't change from week to week. It's deep wiring in the way that you're made. You will mature, I pray I am. We'll mature, we'll grow, and I really hope that, you know, we will learn more about these gifts and how God designed us, and we will learn to live from them well. It's such a relief to begin to understand what motivates us and how God has put that in our individual bodies to live from. He gives different gifts according to his grace, and it's God who gives them to you. And it's your job, it's my job, to understand it as much as we can. There are really great aspects about all of these gifts. But for example, if we are really gifted as a servant, God's really wired that heart of service into us. And if we're a servant, but we don't understand that deep drive, that motivation in us, we can find ourselves helping everyone all of the time, and then you become a sort of a frazzle of who you really are because you've given and given more than you've really got to give. And that's not what God had planned. If you're an encourager, an exhorter, what a beautiful gift to encourage. But for example, you might always be thinking about the other and always be around to encourage everyone else and not take time and space to simply be and to look after yourself. So understanding what motivates you and how to look after yourself and steward that gifting is really important. If you run ahead of gifting, you can so easily find you expressing it from a place of striving and self-effort, not an overflow of what the Lord is in you and to you. And we all have amazing, glorious combinations of these motivational gifts, as well as other spiritual gifts mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. But these wired in ones in Romans 12 are so important to understand. Yet all of the time, knowing that who we are is all about knowing Christ. All of what I'm talking about is not some, we don't suddenly need to start sort of navel gazing and just looking in at ourselves, but this is all in him, it's all about him, and it's all from him. Because as we know Christ more deeply, as we submit to his will, as we grow in obedience, as we grow in worship and knowledge of scripture, he can and he will reveal to you more and more about who you are and how you can thrive from the gifts that he's given you. And it isn't in isolation, it's in communion with him and in cooperation with him and in discussion with each other. We can help each other to discover this gold, which we're going to get into next week. I cannot even begin to touch the surface here this morning about Romans 12, really, but I want to recommend to you that you might get hold of a copy of this book called Mining for Gold. And also there are some classes that Tom did at the church called Blue Ridge Church in North Carolina. And we put a link to them on the Saturday email yesterday. It's quite a lengthy kind of season of 8 sort of classes he did, but it's well worth having a watch and having a listen. It's on YouTube, so it's totally free. You can just have a watch. But I'd really encourage you to take some time and some energy to have a look, and it's really worth some ongoing study. And the incredible thing about these motivational gifts, the crux of these things, is that what motivates you, what really floats your boat, is what others will see. If you're living from a place of love and faith and understanding who you are in him, how you have been gifted, what has been entrusted to you uniquely from the King of Kings, the world will see Jesus, the hope of glory, in you and through you. And it's a crucial part of how we bear witness. I wonder if you've spotted some of this kind of inner wiring, some of these fingerprints of God in some of the children's videos. Laura the other week interviewed quite a few of the children. We had little clippets. And I wonder, did you hear some of the children talking about what was important to them? My ears prick up when I hear people speaking about what's important to them. I saw evangelists. Just little ones, but they were there. That gold is in them. The Father has fingerprints of evangelism on them now. I saw teachers emerging. I saw prophets emerging. Got all goosebumpy. That is just the fingerprints of God on these little children. I saw it, but we need to open our eyes to all be seeing it. God gives these 7 predominant wirings, the gold. We didn't gift ourselves it. God gave it. So I'll come into land. I just want to say that there are gold mines all around us. There are gold mines in the people around you. You are a gold mine. You are a gold mine. In you there is treasure. And I really felt as I was preparing this morning that maybe there are some of you who kind of think, no, I don't think so. I haven't got any gold in me. You have. You absolutely have. God says so. It might take a bit of mining. Maybe it's been in that riverbed and it's hidden, but it is there, and it's there to be discovered because God put it there. In all of us as well, there is undiscovered gold that God wants to refine and refine more and more and more to reflect his glory, to reflect his character to the whole world. Maybe you've got a bit of a handle on this. Maybe what I'm saying today is not news to you. You're really familiar with Romans 12 and you know how you have been wired. That's great. But God isn't done. There is more. He wants to refine and refine. And it's all in the context of relationship with Jesus. We can't see what he sees if we don't know him. We can't know the nudge of the Holy Spirit to understand our design if we don't welcome and cooperate with him. It's about learning all we can about our gifts and increasingly revealing God to others authentically from who we are and his deep work in us. Everyone needs to know their value. There's not one person watching this. There's not one person in this room. There's not one person at Marley Hill. There's not a person that you know who doesn't need to know that there is extraordinary treasure within them, made in the image of God. not one single person. And this is good news to tell people. So band want to come. There is gold in each and every person. Gold of the gospel and the gold of the character of God that he injected in you, he put inside you when he made you. And next Sunday we're going to take some time to look at how we might go mining. What does that actually mean? But I want to encourage you this week, please, to have a look at Romans 12. Watch those videos that I mentioned. There are huge gold mines in South Africa, in Russia, in the US, in Papua New Guinea. But I pray above all that the largest gold mine of all will be in the northeast of England. That we as a church will really get to grips with this, understand what Romans 12 means for us individually, and learn what this means for us as a church family and for our communities as well. So we're going to worship now. But yeah, as I was preparing, I felt like when I was mentioning the jars of clay, that you really see the breakable nature of your body. And I want to pray that as we worship, the healing power of the King of Kings would rest on you. Jesus, we thank you that you come with healing in your wings. And we pray this morning as we worship you, Lord, would you come? We all come with broken bits. Father, we pray for your healing today. Or maybe I got the sense that maybe for some people, they don't like the jar. They don't actually even like the way they look. And I just feel like God wants to minister into that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no one like you, and it's for good reason, because he designed you, he loves you. And I feel like for others, there might be something about what I've said that God has used. And you're left thinking now, this is what I want to do. I want to mine. I want to just help people discover this is what I'm made for. I want to say yes. I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch. But I want to bless that and say, Father, would you rest on that, that inner churning to want to be a miner of gold in others. We bless it. We thank you for those people that really want to run with this. Lord, would you increase? And I thought as well, there might be people that are jealous. It might be a really kind of really quiet thing, but it's in your heart and you look sideways and you're jealous sometimes of the gifts that other people have got. And there's nothing good that will ever come from that. So this morning as we worship, let that go. Ask for forgiveness, move forward. That jealousy has no place in you. You're a child of the King. And then for others, and lastly, you've been like a doorstop, covered in whatever it is, and you've been put to one side for whatever reason. Maybe you put yourself to one side, maybe others have spoken that over you, and you've just assumed the position of doorstop. And I think the King of Kings this morning wants to say that is a waste. Don't do that. Step out. Let the work of the refining of God come into your life, because you're not a doorstop. Come, Holy Spirit, as we worship. If you're at Marley Hill or here, we're going to stand, if you would like to, just in the presence of God. We're not able to sing out loud because of restrictions, but if you're at home, sing loud enough for all of us. But the words will come up in our venues so that we can just follow along and just invite God to work in our hearts as we're in this atmosphere of worship. So come, come, Holy Spirit.
Let's stand.